In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O Good One. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to look now at the readings for the 21st Sunday in the year, which will be August 25th. The theme is the universality, or universal call. And I want to think about that in our part one here, and then see how it's developed in the readings, okay? The Lord told us to go out and preach to everybody. The whole world has to hear the good news. And therefore, there have been heroes over the last 20 centuries. I was in school with some of them when I was doing my work at the Biblicum over in Rome. I was in class with one of my close friends, was a white father. And he told me that most of these guys, when they go out on the missions to the underdeveloped countries, they don't last very long before they're very sick, because the heat, the different food, the different bugs, but they go anyway. For whatever number of years they're going to be able to really preach the gospel, they go. And I thought that was just so wonderful. And they reflect and embody the Lord's concern that everybody come to know Him. See? That all, what God wills, that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. And so the church prays every day for that. And the Lord inspires some to give their life to that effort. It's a universal call. Now, there has been some confusion since Vatican II. Well, God's going to be good to everybody, and so you don't have to go preach like that anymore. And so some of those orders are lacking vocations, and some of the people are lacking the good news. I just want to look at part of that now. I'm looking at the document on the church, De Ecclesia, from Vatican II, and Numbers 14, 15, 16, particularly, and 17, but not as much. Number 14. The Holy Synod turns its attention, first of all, to the Catholic faithful. Okay, you see, Catholicos in primis, okay? Relying on sacred scripture and tradition, it teaches that this pilgrim church is necessary for salvation. That's the first line. This pilgrim church is necessary for salvation. So, it doesn't mean, oh, if you're trying hard and mean well, you're going to make it. There are so many, if you are trying hard and the Lord is helping you, but it is so much more difficult, as the council would say. In other words, there's been a drastic misunderstanding of this number, especially number 14, 15, and 16. Dr. Ralph Martin wrote his doctorate on this, and if you can get it, it's worth studying. Okay. For Christ alone, who is present to us in His body, which is the Church, is the mediator and way of salvation, and He, while expressly insisting on the need for faith and baptism, at the same time confirmed the need for the Church, into which people enter through baptism and through a door. So it's not just faith and baptism, it's Church. If you're baptized, you're baptized into the body, and the body should be one church. The tragedy is that it's not, as everybody knows. And that's why this Holy Spirit works so hard to stir up genuine ecumenism, okay? I'm going to skip a line, therefore those who cannot be saved, who refuse to enter the church or remain in it, if they are aware that the Catholic Church was founded by God through Jesus Christ as a necessity for salvation. The impression was given, based on number 16 of this document, that anybody, you know, they're all doing fine, if they mean well. And so the missionary orders lost a lot of vocation. And if you want to find out the net result, just turn on the news. Okay. So then he goes through, the document goes through so you have to belong to the church, but there's more. That person is not saved, however, even though he might be incorporated into the church, who does not persevere in charity, that is, love. He does indeed remain in the bosom of the church bodily, but not in its heart. And those are words from St. Augustine. But all sons and daughters of the church must be mindful that they owe their distinguished status not to their own merits, but to Christ's special grace. And if they fail to respond to this grace in thought, word, or deed, not only will they not be saved, they will be judged the more severely. And that also is a quote. That time also on Augustine and Aquinas. Aquinas' commentary on John. Or Augustine's. Okay. For several reasons, this is number 15, it's going to look now at the Christians who are not part of the church. For several reasons, the church recognizes that it is joined to those who, though baptized and so honored with a Christian name, do not profess the faith in its entirety or do not preserve the unity of communion under the successor of Peter. This is what drives the saints, that the church be one and that the whole world believe in Jesus Christ, be baptized into the church, and live by the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point of missionary activity. Now, I wanted, this is the rather official translation. It's talking about the Protestant churches, so that praying that there'll be one flock and one shepherd. Then, in number 7:16, finally, those who have not yet accepted the gospel are related to the people of God in various ways. In the first place, there is that people to whom the testaments and promises were given, and from whom Christ was born according to the flesh, a people according to their election most dear because of their ancestors. For God never goes back on his gifts and his calling. And they're quoting Romans 8, 11, 28, 29. But the plan of salvation also embraces those who acknowledge the Creator. And among these, the Muslims are first. They profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and along with us, they worship the one merciful God who will judge humanity on the last day. If they're in the state of grace. There are others who preach, who search, for the unknown God in shadows and images. God is not far from people of this kind, since he gives to all life and breath, and so forth. But you see, that doesn't mean they're doing fine, we shouldn't go out and trouble them, disrupt their culture. That was a tremendous error, and we're paying for it now. All the people who are against Western culture are really against the church, for the most part, whether they know it or not. There's a very famous book written recently. The name will come in a minute. The title is something like, "We Should All Be Catholics," I think it says. And it's written by Marcello Pera, who used to be the head of the Italian Senate. And his point is that we have to believe in God, or we have no basis for asserting human rights. And though he's not a full Catholic, he and Pope Benedict wrote a book together. That is, they each contribute half of a book on this whole issue. He's a very honest and intelligent man, Marcello Pera. There are those who, without any fault, do not know about Christ or his church, yet who search for God with a sincere heart, and under the influence of grace, try to put into effect the will of God as known to them through the dictate of conscience. These too can obtain eternal salvation. Nor does Providence deny the helps that are necessary for salvation to those who, through no fault of their own, have not yet attained to the express recognition of God, yet who strive, not without divine grace, to lead an upright life. But whatever goodness and truth is found in them is considered by the Church as preparation for the gospel and bestowed by Him who enlightens everyone, that they may in the end have life. Moreover, however, and this is the part that's often not, moreover, however, deceived by the evil one, people have gone astray in their thinking and exchanged the truth about God for a lie and served the creature rather than the Creator. That's from Romans chapter 1. Or living and dying in this world without God, they are exposed to the extreme of despair. For this reason, to promote the glory of God and the salvation of all these people, the Church is mindful of the Lord's command when He said, "Preach the gospel to the whole creation," and so it sedulously encourages the missions. That's very important, because after Vatican II, this paragraph particularly was badly misunderstood. Oh, well, everybody's trying hard. Some are Catholic, some are Buddhist, some are atheists, so we're all trying hard. It's not true. See? And that's what this line finally says. Moreover, deceived by the evil one, people have gone astray in their thinking and exchanged the truth about God for a lie and served the creature. Could be the state, could be money, could be your favorite club, could be the nation you belong to. Serve the creature rather than the Creator. Or living and dying in this world without God, they are exposed to the extreme of despair. I'm dying. I've never really believed the preaching of the gospel, whatever it is. I'm dying. There's no hope for me. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. But there's no hope for me. You see? So the Church is mindful of the Lord's command, preach the gospel to the whole creation. And so it sedulously encourages the missions. The Church sedulously encourages the missions. We shouldn't forget that. Even those we meet who are sincere and seem to be doing well, just think what they'd be like if they knew the Lord Jesus. They'd leave us in the dust, and we could get their prayers to help us. In other words, this first theme of universality, which will be coming again in the final reading in the Gospel, is very important. And we need to heed that exhortation. Amen.